What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, October 23rd, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the busiest lady in the business, Andrea Renee.
What's good, Greg?
Video games.
Oh, there's so many good ones right now.
There are. I mean, top of the list, Ghostbusters World, as they battle over here in the Ghost Dimension. Now, what you might be saying is, Greg, I read on the Ghostbusters World subreddit, you were having issues with crashing inside of the story mode and Gozer Tower. What I'm here to tell you, Andrea Renee, is I might have solved the issue by taking auto turns down to times one, not times two. That appears to be doing pretty well. Will I be able to beat them in this story? We'll see right now. We don't know. How you been? What have you been playing?
Well, I've been playing a game I can't talk about, but I've also
Tetris
been,
Effect.
That's oh gosh, I wish.
I know, right? We can't wait. This is a big office for Tetris Effect.
Definitely excited to check that out. But I've also been playing Destiny,
of course,
because Festival of the Lost is happening. Yeah. And I love some good Halloween themed stuff.
Sure.
And I've also been playing some Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Yeah!
So good. Yeah. God, I love that
it's
game.
Real good.
Oh, Kevin, have you checked your trophies yet? Are you going to platinum it or not?
I've told you this yesterday. I'm not going
to
platinum
but,
it.
Yeah, but I like to think I put the bug in your ear. You know,
definitely
you're already
not
so committed. You're already so into it. Why not?
Actually, I have taken a 3-day break, and I'm trying to get clean from it. But I think I'm going to go.
No,
yeah,
you can't get clean
deep,
of it. You know what I mean? That's
tonight.
The thing. Yeah, you got to get back
can
in
I
there.
Can I finish it tonight? I don't know.
I think you can, Kev.
We'll see.
I believe
I'm
in
excited.
You. All right, good.
Damp everything.
You want to talk about some news?
That sounds fantastic.
Huh?
I said, that sounds fantastic.
I totally I heard not lo fantastic. I'm like, what the hell did she just say? Kevin, the stroke might be happening. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, rush. This is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD, with your questions, comments, bad PSN names for a little bit while longer, and everything else under the video game sun. Then watch us record it live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. It crashed, by the way. That did not solve my problem at all. Ghostbusters World Story Mode, level 5, still having problems with. Housekeeping for you. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, the fan mail tier this month. All of October is my notes. I've been saving my notes from Kinda Funny Games Daily, the Kinda Funny Games cast, and the occasional Game Over Greggy show, doodling on them, autographing them and such. They are the fan mail tier. If you go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can sign up for the fan mail tier, get each and every episode of the games cast early, get party mode early, enjoy all manner of things, and get my notes sent to you at the end of the month. Today, I'm returning to IGN Podcast Beyond right after this, running back there to film
Beyond.
That. And, Beyond. I got to get
no,
back in the...
Got to
be. Well, no, but it, when she did it, you have to do an answer. It's a call and response. You know what I mean, Kevin? You don't understand Beyond. You never did.
I was yelling at her for doing it.
So send them your questions. Look for the episode tomorrow.
And you can yell at me, Kevin. That's fine.
Don't yell at her, Kevin. I heard you guys had a social media fight.
Don't act like you're cool with me because now you're trying to fucking take back.
What happened on social media? I don't understand.
So during the morning show, when there was a bunch of ruckus happening, I walked in to figure out what all the commotion was about, and then we watched
this morning,
and then we watched the raccoon video.
Sure, of course.
And I see Kevin back there with his feet up on the desk.
Yeah. As I do once everything has relaxed.
And I was just commenting on the fact that he was just straight chilling back there.
Gotcha.
And so I brought up my phone and did a little Instagram story.
Gotcha.
And I said, hey, Kevin, working hard or hardly working?
Yeah.
Because like that's a funny thing to
say. That is a funny thing to say.
And then he thinks we're in a fight now.
That's how Kevin does it. Kevin only knows how to show love through fight. He doesn't know how to love any other way.
He's really just mad that I didn't tag him in the story.
Well, no. Then I can retweet.
You can't reshare. I hate that. That's a stupid thing. You should be able to just reshare any story. Who cares? I should maybe tag. Anyways, and then sometimes you tag people in the Instagram story. Doesn't even work.
Mm-hmm.
Annoying. Today we're brought to you by Loot Crate, Quip, and Third Love, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Three items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
That was a really good one, Kev. I appreciate that.
Impressive.
We have a little bit more on the PlayStation name change details. This is from Reset Era user A's Dune. How do you do that when you think? A's down. A-Z-D-O-U-N-E. As down. Oh, as down. Face down, as down.
No.
That's the way we like to reset era.
As Dune, I would as say.
I'm going to say as down because it sounds like that. Of course, what's happening right now is if you're some of the PlayStation testers out there are the people in the betas are getting a new firmware for their PlayStation 4, which is allowing for name changes. This is from the official email, right? Not all. So it's worth pointing out, by the way, before I even dive into this. This is what's happening right now in the beta test period. Will this be what it's like when they launch the official name changes? Who knows? Probably in some respects, but here's how bad it is. Not all games and applications for PlayStation 4, PS3, PS Vita, and other PlayStation systems support the online ID change feature. If you change your online ID, you may lose access to content, including paid for content that you've acquired for your games, including content like add-ons and virtual currency. You may lose your progress within games, including game saved data, leaderboard data, and progress towards trophies. Parts of your games and applications might not function properly, both online and offline. Your previous online IDs may remain visible to you and other players in some places. If your previous online ID violates any of the current terms of services, you will not be able to revert back to your previous online ID. So beware, people with bad PSN names and thinking about this as your solution. You can revert to your previous online ID once per account during the preview period. Subaccounts cannot utilize the Change Online ID feature. After you change your online ID, it may take a few hours for some services and applications to reflect the new ID. Changing back to your previous online ID may not fix all issues, parentheses, you may not recover all or any lost content, progress, and functionality.
Well, this is terrible news.
I think it's to be expected.
No way, dude. To be expected.
Based on that PlayStation blog post they put up, yes.
Okay, based on that, but like to be expected, how are you going to roll out a feature that may not recover all or any lost content, progress, and functionality? That's a giant fucking if, Greg.
I'm aware, Andrew. I'm aware.
That's why they waited so long.
Hey,
hell
man.
Hell no, dude. If this is on the table as a possibility, keep your bad PSN ID.
Yeah.
Don't do it, kids.
Here's the thing is, my takeaway from it would be that, and I would imagine what they're talking about for the most of this, of like, this could totally fuck everything up, is some PlayStation 3 game you're probably not playing anymore. Probably.
Yeah, but they don't say that.
Sure, of course. They got to cover their asses.
I understand that this is the biggest umbrella statement,
yeah.
Right? But still.
Well, this is my big thing. Like, I don't think you were on the day the blog did the name changes.
No,
we were talking about it there.
Wasn't.
Where when I was quoting it and talking about it, I'm like, keep in mind what they're saying here. Because they're like, hey, this could be a problem. It might be a problem. We're going to have to feel it out together. Which means it's going to be a huge fucking problem. Because when you say, hey, we're going to have a little bit of problems. And we'll get to a question about the Bethesda stuff from yesterday, too. When you say there might be a problem, you get in front of the problem, that means you know there's going to be a bunch of problems. Because
yeah.
This is a super complicated thing that they're trying to retroactively fix 2006, right? Like, whoever freaking designed all the PSN back then, they just weren't thinking about any of these problems. And here we go. Get your Band-Aids and chewing gum ready. You guys wanted it. Strap in.
I think you're giving them too much credit. Xbox figured it out.
I'm giving credit in terms of the reality of how shitty the system is. I'm not giving credit as like, what a great solution, everybody. This home run. You know what I mean?
I mean, I would be curious to know from best friends out there that are eager to change their PSN IDs, is it worth the risk? Are you going to take this risk? Right in to kindoffunny.com/KFG.
Well, I just can't wait for all the Thanos memes, right? What did it cost you to change your name? Lady Liquor 69? Everything. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be... But here's the other thing, too, is that this is the beta period. So maybe this is where they're trying to just figure out how bad it's going to be and see. And like, this is the thing, too. Remember, this was the temporary period to try it out or whatever. And then they're going to roll it out in 2019 to everyone. So like right now, it's totally you are
who
getting,
wants to be this guinea
you,
pig.
Exactly.
Though.
You are Hell the rabbit no. in the lab and they're just feeding you pills and they're going to see what takes and what doesn't.
I wonder if you do a full backup, like on an external hard drive of all of your save files and all of your game data. If that would still matter. It sounds like it wouldn't.
No.
It sounds like
if you change, I mean, that's the problem is if you change your name, right? Okay, cool. I've changed my name. Your saves wouldn't, they're off the side. Then it's going to be a huge rigmarole of them not working. And then even if you revert back
right,
and try to use those
saves.
That's
the worst part. Changing back to your previous online ID may not fix all issues. It's like, but how?
Yeah.
Oh, yikes.
God bless you out there, you beta users who are like, you know what? I will risk it all. I no longer want to be Dung Beetle 89. I'm going to change it. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to solve the problem so the rest of you may live. You know what I mean? We will build statues in your honor in PlayStation Home. Number two.
PlayStation Home.
I didn't get any. I usually get a groan from Andrea when she reads headlines she doesn't like. I wrote this one on my own.
I like this one.
Labo in the Classo. Nintendo Labo is coming to classrooms around North America. Let's read about it. Nintendo and the Institute of Play have teamed up to bring Nintendo Labo kits into elementary classrooms nationwide, combining the innovative play of Nintendo Labo with the basic principles of science, technology, engineering, art, and mathematics. STEAM. They got away from STEM. Now it's STEAM. To inspire kids and help make learning fun. Nintendo will provide Nintendo Labo variety kits and Nintendo Switch systems to participating classrooms to reinforce skills such as communication, creativity, critical thinking. The program aims to reach approximately 2,000 students ages 8 to 11 during the 2018-2019 school year. The Institute of Play is currently conducting a pilot program with schools in the greater New York area. Nintendo and the Institute of Play will use these pilot classes to develop a Nintendo Labo teacher guide that will allow other educators to implement Nintendo Labo in the classroom to promote the development of skills such as creative problem solving and collaboration. The Nintendo Labo teacher guide will include sample lesson plans and learning modules dedicated to basic elements of STEAM and make, play, and discover components of Nintendo Labo. The guide will be available for free later this fall to anyone who wants to incorporate Nintendo Labo into their classrooms or homes. Once the pilot is complete, the program will expand to approximately 100 schools across the United States. Schools that wish to take part in the program can apply at instituteofplay.org/Nintendo Labo. Each participating school will be provided with Nintendo Switch systems and Nintendo Labo variety kits, as well as the Nintendo Labo teacher guide. The in-classroom program will run through March 2019. This program is part of a broader North American initiative to introduce Nintendo Labo in different educational settings. In Canada, Nintendo is partnering with Actua, Canada's leading education outreach organization for STEM topics. So they didn't add the art. They're holding strong on being STEM.
I mean,
They're holding strong.
No, listen, they should.
Canada doesn't recognize art.
I'm calling bullshit adding art into there. You don't have to convince kids to do art when they're when they're in school. You have to convince them to do fucking math.
Okay? Hell yeah, preach, bro.
You got to kick the A out.
Oh, wow.
The A doesn't
need any help.
Why don't you get your ass back to fucking Canada then, all right? To inspire Canadian youth to be innovators of tomorrow through digital literacy programs that offer hands-on experiences with new and emerging technologies like Nintendo Switch and Nintendo Labo. What a cool program. I like that one.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, that's cool. Nintendo Labo, of course, seems interesting. Kevin refuses to buy it for me to play with. So,
I mean, you're an adult. You can buy it for yourself.
Yeah, I like when Kevin buys me things.
I don't blame you for that.
Thank you.
Getting gifts is nice.
Yeah. No, I didn't think it's cool to get in classrooms and actually, see how it works. What I'm interested for is when they put up the lesson plan for free, like they're in the fall, their faculty manual or whatever. That's something I'd love to download and do a let's play of and see what a lesson plan is and screw around with that and see what they do. But I think it's a really cool way to get kids interested in building and creating and sharing and all that jazz.
I hope Nintendo plans to donate quite a few of these Labo kits because they are not cheap.
Yeah.
So it would be really expensive, an expensive tool for a teacher to bring into a classroom for them to pay on their own. Because I doubt any public school system, at least in the United States, is going to approve buying Nintendo products.
Well, I think that's why they're doing it with the 2,000, right? And then rolling it out to 100 more schools across the United States.
100 schools across the United States is nothing. It's barely even a drop of water in a bucket.
Two schools a state. Done.
Are you kidding me, Greg?
Yeah, I am kidding. I'm aware there's a lot of schools. Hey, they're trying something out and they're putting it out there. You know what I mean? Good on you.
No. Like, I'm not trying to take away from that. Yeah. I'm saying I hope that they're going to roll this up to more than just 100 schools.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I agree.
Come on, Nintendo. You got money. You can do it.
It's true.
It's just cardboard.
It's true. Do it. It's cardboard. Partner with Domino's. Number three, big news, everybody. Maybe kind of not really. Intellivision is back.
What?
Yeah, thank you, Kevin. Charlie Hall has a report over at Polygon. Intellivision, the home video game console that first launched in 1979, is planning a comeback in a new family-friendly format. The modernized platform called Amico will include the original's iconic omnidirectional disc, as well as a full-color touchscreen on one controller. The expected release date is October 10th, 2020. Intellivision's leadership team, led by Chief Executive Officer and video game musician Tommy Tallarico, is making some bold claims about its device, which is still on the drawing board. Chief among them is the console's price point, said to be between $149 and $179 US dollars. Additionally, every single game published for the platform will be exclusive and cost between $299 and $799, they said. It will launch with several built-in titles and over 20 more games in its online store. Quote, "We are creating a console that parents want to buy, not that they were asked to buy," Tellerico said during a keynote address at the Portland Retro Gaming Expo this past weekend. Most every game... Oh, hold on, I'll hold for Kevin's laughter.
Sorry.
Most every game being made for the home consoles these days is created with only the hardcore gamer in mind, he continued. "We see a world where everyone is interested in playing at home and with friends, but this isn't currently possible because of the barrier to entry is nearly impossible for a non-gamer due to the complexity of the controllers."
Can I roll my eyes any harder?
Andrea, these parents at home, they're too busy with TurboTax and whatever World of Warcraft expansion they're playing on their PCs. They don't understand controllers. I will start again. Impossible for a non-gamer due to the complexity of the controllers, intricacy of the gameplay, expense of the hardware and software, and steep learning curve with an unbalanced fun factor for the beginner. "Our goal was to create a console that both gamers and non-gamers are able to have fun with and play together. The Intellivision Amico is our answer to this gaping hole we see within the current video game industry."
I almost edited some of this out, but then I left it in because it's so preposterous.
If you're an audio listener, I urge you to go watch back what just happened as Andrea rings the desk and moves around as if being possessed. Concept art for the Amico shows an all-white console with a built-in built-in ambient lighting. Prominently featured on top are a pair of Bluetooth controllers that pay tribute to the Intellivision's rectangular keypad design. Each will include a color touchscreen, a circular direction pad, and tactile buttons along the left and right side. A gyroscope and accelerometer. Did I say it right first time? Okay, great. Great. Hi, everybody. It's me, Greg. Yay, gold star for me. Where's my STEM degree? Will allow for motion control. Up to 6 other players will be able to connect to the device using a free smartphone app for iOS and Android. The launch lineup includes a number of reimagined titles, including Astro Smash, Snafu, Tron Deadly Discs, and Star Strike. It will also have a version of Cloudy Mountain, Crown of Kings, a rebranded take on Advanced Dungeons & Dragons, Cloudy Mountain. Why is it so cloudy? One of the first console role-playing games licensed from TSR Inc. The console will offer numerous titles from the Atari catalog. Andrea, go to town.
All right.
It's so hard for a common person to play games.
Here's the positive thing I'm going to say about this is that the form factor looks great. It's clean, white, got those nice little ambient lights. Looks like a cute little display item.
Mm-hmm.
In line with what we've seen from classic or mini editions of several other consoles that have come out. So, that looks good. I think this quote is absolutely out of touch with where video games are at in 2018. This idea that the barrier to entry is nearly impossible for a non-gamer due to the complexity of the controllers, intricacy of gameplay, and expense of the hardware and software, and steep learning curve. I don't think that as a silo quote is wrong in the sense that gaming can get incredibly expensive and complex on the far end of the spectrum. But the idea that the Intellivision Amico is our answer to this gaping hole that we see in the industry is almost laughable to me.
Yeah.
Because that's what mobile gaming is doing, is filling that hole. And that's why mobile gaming has become so incredibly popular and incredibly lucrative in all markets around the world. Now, if you wanted to have a way to answer the expense and the difficulty of console or PC gaming, just use the device that you already own calls on, that has tons of free-to-play options on it, and all you do is literally tap the screen.
Yeah.
Like, how difficult is that? And to assume that the intricacy of gameplay is too difficult is just assuming that the mass people out there that aren't gamers are just stupid and won't be able to figure it out. Like, really? Come on, dude.
Yeah, it's since there's just so much weird stuff going on with these retro companies and Atari and everybody else trying to make these weird little consoles and get back into it, where it's just like, what are you thinking? And I feel like it's, to your point, the Intellivision Amico is our answer to this gaping hole. This isn't a gaping hole.
If their PR people had just said, "Yo, Tommy, don't say anything. We're just going to launch this as an ode to retro games, as nostalgia, as an option to like relive the glory days and make a play in that direction, I think we would be having a completely different conversation right now, because I think there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, in television has a very unique place in the history of the video game industry, and that there's a lot of people out there that have great memories playing in television when they were younger and want to maybe bring those experiences to another generation of gamers. And I think there's nothing wrong with that angle. But this idea that these old ass games are gonna be bringing non gamers into the fold with traditional gamers is kind of ridiculous. And why on earth would you pitch something where you use a smartphone app on your iOS device to sync up to this box when I can just play a game on my iOS device?
You don't need to buy more controllers. You can use the controllers you already have in your house that have probably, no offense, better games than this thing has.
Well, maybe I don't need to buy this thing at all.
I mean, that's the other thing for me is like, okay, cool.
Between $149 and $179, when you can get a PlayStation 4 Slim or an Xbox One S on sale for between $200 and $300.
Well, my whole thing is like, at $150, right, you're halfway to a Nintendo Switch.
Right.
And I feel that even, I know plenty of people who have seen their kids' Nintendo Switches and bought their own Nintendo Switches. Mm-hmm. And right there, we're also arguing against the fact of, cool, yeah, this thing's going to be simple at a glance to understand, and there's going to be cheaper games on it, but like, you're going to argue with the library of the Switch's endless library of amazing great games to go out and take a chance on this thing that is reminiscent of the television you used to know a long time ago.
But we've remixed it.
Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, we're still talking about this thing coming out in 2 years. This isn't like an imminent thing. This is also, when you say, hey, we're trying to bring back the Intellivision brand and with this console, and we're going to do it in October of 2020, that Greg Miller's like, we're not going to see this thing. That's not going to happen. But I don't know. I mean, I wish him well. I'm not trying to stop him or anything. It's just like, what a weird campaign to come out and take this shot across the bow of, okay, like, I don't know who's, I don't know. Is Jared Petty excited about this? Mr.
Probably.
Retro Gaming, yeah.
But and like I said, there's nothing wrong with being excited about it in that scope, right?
Sure.
If you are looking at it as an ode to retro gaming.
If you're a big old Cloudy Mountain fan, here you
right,
go.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And if you want to, you know, kind of, you know, idolize that era of gaming in your own personal way by buying this like replica item, this reimagined replica, then that's great. I just think that all of this pomp and circumstance around trying to disrupt the industry and fill a gaping hole is quite frankly bullshit.
Yeah, agreed. Kevin?
That's all.
What's up, dude?
I can't wait to see if on October 10th, 2020, that there Intellivision Amico comes out. But it's still so far away. If I wanted to know what came to video game mom and grop shops today, where would I go, Andrea?
Greg, you would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah! Andrea, while you were just railing on that article, I got distracted at one point by your shirt.
Yes.
Is it goats? Is it ducks? Is it a fox?
It's foxes.
Oh. Foxes, okay.
At first, when I bought this shirt, I thought it was corgis, and then the legs are too long.
Sure.
It's definitely foxes.
Yeah, okay. Okay, cool. Yeah. Out today, Bass Pro Shops, The Strike on Switch, Cabela's The Hunt on Switch. Oh, the Fallout beta, break it early, test application period starts for Xbox One. And is it just Xbox One or PC as well? Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. PlayStation, yeah. I know, is next week. Probably, well, I don't know. Is it, which is it? Let me know.
I know my Xbox One version is downloaded and ready for me to play when I get home.
Yeah, I downloaded the Xbox One as well. I just can't remember. Is PC version at launch, or is that, anyway. Andrea, you're on it. I'll be
calling. I'm on it.
Grid Retro Enhanced on PlayStation 4. Gwent, the Witcher card game, is officially released. Just Dance 2019 is on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch. Mind Labyrinth VR Dreams is on PlayStation VR. Never Out is on PS4. Nickelodeon Kart Racers is on PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Paw Patrol on a Roll is on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch. The Perils of Baking Refrosted is on PlayStation Vita. It lives. Project Hi-Rise Architects Edition is on Xbox One. Spin Tires Mud Runner is on Spin Tires Mud Runner American Wilds is on Xbox One. What do you got for me on Fallout?
So it's Xbox One, but they have a limited window, which you can play. It's 7 p.m. Eastern time until 11 p.m. Eastern time today. We don't have the sessions for the rest of the week. It comes out for PS4 and PC next week.
Gotcha. Thronebreaker, The Witcher Tales is on PC. And then Windjammers comes the Nintendo Switch. Cool, Greg.
Danny.
You came in at an interesting time. I need you on that microphone, and have you played Nickelodeon Kart Racers? That's out today.
Oh, yeah, I've been playing quite a bit, actually.
You've been playing a lot of it.
Well,
yeah, I've been
then.
Fucking shit up. Usually I go to Michelangelo, but I've been playing as Hey Arnold, too.
Okay, how is it?
It's cool. It's kind of like a way dumbed down and easier Mario Kart.
Okay.
So, like, everything that would fuck you up, I'd say, in Mario Kart, it kind of just helps you
like
out.
Those like blue
the
shells? Slime,
like, you know the sand in Mario Kart?
Yeah.
Slows you down?
Yeah.
This is, like, their version kind of speeds you up. Like, kind of gets
the
you
slime
back.
Does?
Yeah, like, you use it as a boost, so it kind of gets you back in the conversation.
Interesting, okay.
Yeah.
Would you recommend it, though? I heard Tim was like, it's not good.
No, yeah, it's kind of, I wouldn't recommend it, but visually, I like it just to go through the different levels.
Sure.
You know, just like in Mario Kart, it's a lot of fun to see Bowser's low level and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Cool Greg. New dates for you. Descenders, the downhill biking game from Rage Squid and No More Robots, will become that little bit trickier next week. That's what they wrote. When the Trick or Treat update adds a whole host of special tricks you can pull off and boost your combo. That's October 19th on PC and Xbox. Wait, hold on. What day is it? It's the 23rd. Where the hell did that news story come from? Why did I read it? God damn it. Storm Boy the Game, an adaptation of the novella, exploring the friendship between a child and his pet pelican, soars to Xbox One, Switch, PS4, PC, Mac, iOS, and Android, November 20th, 2018. And then Rogue Legacy and Full Metal Furies. Switch ports come out on November 6th. I was so thrown by reading about Descenders, which came out on the 19th of October. What is happening to me?
Don't know.
Andrea?
Yes.
It's time for Deals of the Day, but you added one, so I'm just going to let you do Deals of the Day.
Sure. So we got a PlayStation blog announcement that God of War is officially $39.99. This marks an official price reduction through PlayStation, not just like a retailer sale.
Sure.
And they released a Midgard Mishaps video in celebration of this, where they show some of the development process and some of the bugs and stuff they came across while they were making the game, which was funny because we were like, these bugs aren't even that bad, considering like how many bugs are in games these days. But it makes you think, wow, there weren't really any bugs in that game.
Game's too good. That's why it's game of the year.
So good. Take it to the bank. So good. NVIDIA announced the Hunt Begins bundle for graphics cards that feature a GeForce GTX 1060 6GB, a GeForce GTX 1070, and a GeForce GTX 1070 Ti GPU. Customers who purchase one of the selected GPUs from a participating partner will receive a copy of the hit game Monster Hunter World.
Whoa!
The Hunt Begins bundle runs from the 23rd today through the 29th of November. And lastly, if you buy Red Dead Redemption 2 from GameStop, you can save $100 on any Xbox One console purchase. This brings the price of the Xbox One X down to $399.99 and the Xbox One S to $199.99. The deal is valid from October 25th through November 3rd, a GameStop representative told Polygon.
Not too shabby.
Yeah. So if you are in the market for an Xbox and you want to play Cowboys, this is the deal for you.
Time for reader mail, but I'm going to tell you it's brought to you by Loot Crate, Quip, and Third Love. Third Love. Let's start with Loot Crate. Do you know what Loot Gaming is? It's a monthly subscription box delivered directly to your door with exclusive pop culture collectibles, apparel, and gear. Loot Gaming curates, designs, everything themselves. You can't find these items anywhere else. Just like the Metal Gear pint glass we got last month that I've been using around here and love very much. This month's theme is Victory Comes at the Edge of a Blade. Face your enemies with razor sharp gear from God of War, The Elder Scrolls, Kingdom Hearts, and Assassin's Creed. This is $6 of value in every crate for less than $29 a month. It comes with a guaranteed t-shirt in every crate, and the crate will sell out. You must order this week to guarantee yours, as it's going to sell out. Get the best surprises each month from the largest geek and gaming subscription company, Geek Out in Style with Loot Crate. Subscribers are also automatically entered to win each month's Epic Drop, a special prize that looters can win just by being a looter. This month's Epic Drop includes a PlayStation 4 Pro and God of War bundle. Subscribe now by going to lootcrate.com/games and enter my code GAMES to save an exclusive 30% off your subscription. That's lootcrate.com/games, my code GAMES to save exclusive 30% off your subscription. Quip. One of the most important things you can do for your health every day is brushing your teeth, yet most of us don't do it properly. Quip is a better electric toothbrush created by dentists and designers. It was designed to make brushing your teeth more simple, affordable, and even enjoyable. People brush too hard, and some electric toothbrushes are too abrasive. Not Quip! A built-in 2-minute timer pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides, helping guide a full and even clean. Up to 90% of us don't brush for a full 2 minutes and don't clean evenly. I didn't realize it was supposed to be 2 minutes. I did not know that. So when Nick stole the quip out of the office and started using it and talked about how great it was, I started brushing for 2 minutes.
Well, yeah, what's great about the quip is that it, you know, pulses every 30 seconds so you can do uppers and lowers in the right amount of time.
Smart.
You know what also I learned when I started using my quip?
I know you use a quip. This is great. This is good
stuff.
Oh,
you haven't? They're great.
I didn't know you did. Yeah, this is great. Yeah. No, I haven't either.
Well, Quip has very graciously sponsored some episodes of What's Good Games.
Oh.
So what was interesting is that in the materials that came with my toothbrush, they were like, did you know that up to 50% of people only brush their teeth once a day? And I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Monsters.
Well, don't be shamed to do it, but brush your teeth more. Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you get your first refill pack of brush heads for free with a Quip electronic toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/games. And finally, Third Love. Third Love has an offer for all the kind of honeys out there. The perfect bra. Using thousands of real women's measurements, Third Love designs its bras with breast size and shape in mind so they fit impeccably and feel even better. Third Love just added 24 new sizes, making them the industry leader. Skip the trip and find your fit in 60 seconds online. Order and try on at home. No more awkward fitting room experiences. Gia loves her strapless ones. Her friend's boyfriend loves the black lacy one. And Jen didn't love hers, so it's not a big deal, though. She bought it too big, and Third Love's free and easy returns make it simple to get the right one.
Same thing happened to me when I ordered my first Third Love. I ordered the size that I order in other manufacturers. Didn't fit right. I was like, I'm upset about this. And then I called the customer service and they were like, we'll help you out. We'll send you the right size. Sent me a new size and I was like, oh, this fits perfectly now.
Nailed it. They also just recently launched their most requested style, cotton. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they're offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/games right now to find the perfect fitting bra and get your 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/games for 15% off today. Where do I want to start with you, Andrea? Daniel McGee from Texas. Writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, with XO18 just a couple of weeks away, I'm surprised that we aren't hearing more about it from Microsoft. Do you think this is because they're holding their cards close to their chest, or is it that there isn't much to show? What would they have to show to blow you away? Love everything you do. Thanks. Daniel McGee from Texas.
Daniel McGee from Texas.
Why are they being so quiet, Andrea?
Probably because this event is nothing more than a fan celebration event of games and hardware that's already been released.
Mm.
This isn't something like we would expect from PlayStation Experience, where there's a big media showcase or a press conference.
They are doing some kind of conference, though, right?
They are doing something. But so far, what I'm saying is the expectation is not that it's going to be a bunch of big announcements, right? Because Microsoft has not really done that historically. Obviously, the last off-cycle major press briefing they did that wasn't aligned with a major trade show was when they announced the Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
At least, if I'm wrong about that, please write into kindoffunny.com/you are wrong if there's a glaring thing that I'm missing there. And so I don't have any expectation that we're going to get some kind of crazy revelation here, like a Gears of War release date or like a new Halo trailer.
And they said it was Halo. We talked about on the show where the newest Halo will not make an appearance there. They confirmed already.
Well, there you go.
I'm just going back to what it was because it was what Phil
Maybe
Spencer.
They'll give us an official Crackdown release date.
What are we talking about?
Doubtful, though, right?
I thought it was the 22nd. Isn't it one of the 22nd
it's
games?
It's February 2019, last I checked.
Oh, okay.
It's just February.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay.
So I don't know. That's why you haven't seen anything. Also, because generally, as members of the press, when Xbox or Microsoft is doing something, they email us.
Yeah.
They let us know, hey, we have this news coming up. Sometimes it's under embargo. Sometimes it's not. And so that way we can prepare coverage. And I have heard nothing.
Yeah, that's the thing. Reading from Kevin's post over on GameSpot when it first went up, Microsoft is hosting a big Xbox event later this fall. During the latest episode of Inside Xbox, the company announced a new fan event dubbed XO18, a, quote, global celebration of all things Xbox, scheduled to take place in Mexico City on November 10th through the 11th. Microsoft hasn't announced many details about what fans can expect from XO18 yet, but the publisher says it will feature the, quote, largest live Inside Xbox episode ever. The event will broadcast podcast online and will provide news, first looks, and surprises, although the publisher didn't delve into what the specifics could be.
Inside Xbox so far has not dropped any major news releases, though. Like, if you look at the episodes that they've released so far, it's been, you know, a little bit here, a little bit here, but nothing that
updates
was
and things
super
like that.
Earth-shattering.
Yeah. We all know, historically, Tim was wrong about that. There was a bet for a while where he's like, it's going to be huge, and he was wrong, because Tim's always wrong, and he shouldn't be verified on Instagram.
I wouldn't even say that Inside Xbox is on par with a Nintendo Direct as far as newsworthiness.
Well, no, I think it's more on par with Core. I think that's what they were going for. I don't think they were going for a Nintendo
Direct. Show.
Oh, man, never forget Core.
Back
Come
in the
on,
day.
What up, Veronica Belmont? You know what I mean? Like, no, Core was it's a video fan magazine, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what I think Inside Xbox has been of like so far. I do think to Daniel's thing, like, why are they being quiet about it? I think they want expectations to be set correctly. I would even say like
that's smart of them.
Saying the largest Inside or Xbox Live ever, like, right, that people started to run away and like we have it blocked out on the calendar for come in, let's stream it that Saturday morning, let's watch along and do reacts to it. I'm not expecting. Here it is, guys. Gears release date. This is what's happening. Blah, blah. But I do expect announcements out of it. I do think it's going to be a fun, hey, it's a global celebration of Xbox. So here's Major Nelson, and here's Phil, and here's Jeff Rubenstein, and let's all talk about what's happening.
It's also a little head-scratching why they were doing a major fan engagement in Mexico City. Obviously, Xbox has, you know, a great stake as far as market share in Central and South America compared to their worldwide presence. So that makes sense. But if you're going to do this gigantic fan fest, why wouldn't you do it in your home country? You know what I mean?
Mexico's right there.
Yeah, but
it's similar.
Seattle's even closer.
North America, it's all there. You know what I mean?
I know. Nothing against Mexico. I think Mexico City sounds like a fun place to do it, but it doesn't sound like a traditional place where you would do press.
A convention.
For an English-speaking audience in particular.
Sure.
And that's what Xbox traditionally does. I've never seen them do a major press conference in any other language besides English.
It's one of, I mean, the fact that they're doing something different, though, is at least interesting, right? Like, there's a new wrinkle to it. It's not just, hey, we're going to Anaheim. All right, we're back at the Anaheim Convention Center. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think it's whatever. But yes, the fact that as press or media or influencers, whatever
I don't know
calls,
anybody that's going.
I haven't heard anybody be approached.
Zero people I know, whether they are streamers, YouTubers, or work in traditional press, I don't know a single person that's going.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. It does sound like a really big fan party, but I don't know what that versus a PSX, I'm not sure like what you're getting. But that's always exciting because then you don't know what you're going
to get. You know, there's only one way to find out.
Tune in.
You got to send number one games journalist Andy Cortez.
Oh my gosh, we do. Right. He's not even at work today. He's fucking bum as always. Josh from Maryland writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Bethesda Studios published, quote, a note to our fans yesterday, and I was wondering what y'all's take on it was. Is it just Bethesda trying to get ahead of any backlash to the inevitable bugs that come with launching a brand new online platform, or is there something more to the letter? Thanks for all you do, Josh. I put out a section of it, Andrea Renee.
Yes.
Because they put up a big letter yesterday being like, basically, we've launched games before. When we launched the franchise, this is the first time it's like, this is the next step. This is the evolution of Fallout and what we're doing here. These are two paragraphs, I think, that are what Josh is referencing. Usually, after years of development, we finally finish, release the game, and take a break. With 76, we feel we have not finished, but reached a starting line where all new work begins. We all know, with the scale of our games and the systems we let you use, that unforeseen bugs and issues always come up. Given what we're doing with 76, we know we're opening everyone up to all new spectacular issues none of us have encountered. Some we're aware of, such as areas where performance needs to improve with lots of players. Others, we surely don't. We need your help finding them and advice on what's important to fix. We'll address all of it now and after launch. What's your takeaway from this letter they put up?
My takeaway is they're trying to manage expectations.
Yep.
The game is probably more broken than the average Bethesda game at
launch.
Which
is saying something.
Which is definitely saying something. No, I mean, it's a running joke how many bugs Bethesda games have, right?
Yeah.
You can just go to YouTube and look for compilations. But I think it's smart of them to kind of get ahead of it and say, listen, like, if you're a longtime Fallout fan, we just want you to know this is how it's going to go.
Right.
And it's going to be different. And it's different for us and it's different for you. And we hope you trust us and join us on that journey. And I think it's smart of them to do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not tongue in cheek and it's not just a joke and a wink that they spell out Fallout, BETA, right? Break it early test, like application. They that seemed like a good joke at the time, but it's real. Of like, yep, there's been old Elder Scrolls Online, but this is the first Fallout game that's multiplayer and it's totally different in the cards and this, that, and the other. And like, yeah, we don't know when you can test any game for a bunch of, for hours and hours and hours. But when it gets out into hundreds, thousands, you know, potentially millions of hands and systems and online, that's when you really find out what's going on. So like, their beta is more is a real beta in a very specific way of, yes, you're going to break this game. That's why it's in the title. You are going to break this game.
Right. But the concerning part, I think, about all of this is something that was brought up during E3 when they announced this, is that, man, this beta is going live awfully close to when this game is supposed to launch.
What is it? It's November 13th, November 14th?
I think so. Yeah. Let me double check the release date.
Sure.
That.
And that's the thing of... Is it, when's a beta, what's a beta and what's a test, right? And like, I think
November 14th, yes.
That's why they've, That's why I think they dropped them both in the title here, right? Of that, this is more than just like a beta of like, hey, how does it work? And like, okay, this is what the game is. This isn't a demo. It's all of it wrapped up in one of, yep, you guys got to be tip of the sword to figure out what breaks for everybody and how it doesn't work so that when we get it out to more people, we have those basic fixes included. Let alone the stuff we're going to see as it exponentially increases the server load.
Do you think that there is room for them to push back this launch if it breaks catastrophically?
I mean, if it's a catastrophic breakdown, I think it doesn't matter if there's room, they have to. They have to. You can't. I mean, in this day and age, even though you're Bethesda, you can release a game. Like, that's all cards on the table, right? Fallout 76 is going to come out on November 14th and have really bad bugs in it, right?
Or it's going to have like a 50 gigabyte day one patch.
Exactly. And even if it's just, well, probably actually, or honestly, both. I was going to say, let's be honest, it's going to have both. It's going to have those and it's going to chase away a lot of people. It's going to embolden a hardcore group to stick it out and see it get better and better and better. And then months down the line with the Bethesda and Fallout name, it's going to have that update where people are like, oh man, it works great now. And it's got a whole bunch of content we really need to go play and all these different things, right? We've seen this with big IP online games before, and we'll see it again. I think as long as it can hit that quota, that it can come out and be a fun experience for the people who want to stick through it, it'll be fine, especially considering how many people, and this goes back to the Shadow of the Tomb Raider stuff, right? Go out and buy the game and don't play it right away. So many people are going to buy this, but still be caught up in Red Dead, still be caught up in Assassin's, still be getting ready for Smash Brothers. And, oh, it's broken as hell? Well, I'll put it on the shelf and wait for it to get better and get there eventually. But I feel like if you come out and it's catastrophic, like, holy shit, you took our money and gave us a game that doesn't even work, that's when you can't come back from that as easily.
Let's hope that Todd won't let us down.
I'm interested.
I believe in you, Todd Howard.
We were talking about it on the show yesterday. Like, after doing the Bethesda party or the Fallout party and talking to people on Twitter about it and seeing, like, actually taking the time to go through previews and videos and stuff, I was like, all right. You know, I'm still like, is this a game for me, the single player Fallout fan? But people say it is, so I want to give it a shot for sure. But if I turn it on, it's just a garbage pile. I'm going to be like, ah, god damn it. We'll know soon enough, I guess. Oh, Nick from Tampa, Florida, writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Following up on yesterday's question, where I was talking about Shadow of the Tomb Raider, the review bombs, and
I heard this discussion.
The consumer is responsible for. Nick writes in and says, greetings, Greg and Andrea. I'm writing in regarding yesterday's discussion of the Shadow of the Tomb Raider review bomb and the question that was posed regarding whether the onus being on the consumer is a privileged point of view. Although I don't 100% agree that an informed consumer can and should be able to predict when a game, parentheses, or any piece of media for that matter, will be marked down, I do agree that it is the consumer's responsibility of when to purchase a game and at what price. There are many upcoming games that I want on release, i.e. Red Dead Redemption 2, Diablo 3 on Switch, Pokemon Let's Go, etc., that I know I won't be able to afford at full price all at once. So I'll be waiting to see if any Black Friday sales pop up for any of these titles. I think that is simply being a responsible consumer and knowing my spending limits. On the other hand, paying the full $60 for a game upon release means you have had more time with the game and have been able to take part in the conversation for that game, something that those who wait for the sale simply will not have. To all the people complaining they paid full price for Shadow of the Tomb Raider, whereas the people who buy it during the sale didn't. I personally think their argument falls flat given that they've probably already completed the campaign by the time new consumers are able to jump in. Sorry for the lengthy response, but thank you for reading and thanks for the entire Kind of Funny crew for doing what you do. Nick from Tampa, Florida.
Yeah, listening to this yesterday was really frustrating for me, not only as a fan of Tomb Raider and specifically Shadow of the Tomb Raider, but also like just this idea of consumers getting to this super entitled place when it comes to buying works of art. It's a little bit different, I think, when you compare, you know, objects to pieces of media. You know, I don't think about buying a movie ticket and expecting, you know, a month later that being pissed off that the movie is cheaper.
Sure.
Right? Like, yeah. I mean, obviously the ticket price is going to go down. Like, that's just the way that it works. And if it's going to be even cheaper if you wait to rent it on digital or buy, you know, the DVD. I just, like, I don't understand why people have such a problem paying for things that they consume
and enjoy for the most part.
And it seems like it's a complaint much more in video games than it is in other art forms and other types of media. And I'm having trouble understanding that. I got into this argument with somebody online about when it came down.
You argue online?
Oh, I know, I'm the worst. When we were going back and forth about microtransactions in Assassin's Creed and people getting upset about paying for things, I'm like, why do you guys have such a hesitancy to pay for things? You know, I just, like, somebody made the thing, they're asking you to pay for it, and you can either choose to say, yes, I want to pay for the thing, or say, no, I don't want to pay for the thing. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and I understand, like, the kind of, like, oh, rats, like, it's, you know, $15 cheaper if I just waited, you know, 45 days or 30 days. And it's like, yeah, sometimes that's just the way it is, but you got to be an early adopter. Yeah. Being an early adopter means you pay more. And I think that, you know, that game was worth the price. But if you didn't think it was worth the price, you know, that's just going to be, I guess, a subjective difference. But I'm frustrated that people are always wanting more for less. And I think that frustration stems from being an online content creator for so many years and always getting shit because people want stuff for free. Mm. But it's not free to make it.
Sure.
Right? Like, people that watch YouTube content or watch a Twitch streamer and want everything for free and don't want to ever pay for anything, but then just expect, like, the content creator to keep churning out content and pumping out stuff. And it's
the same clip, the same rate, if not more.
It's like, none of this is free.
Yeah.
So the money has to come from somewhere.
Sure.
And hopefully we as creators, whether you make video games, whether you make movies, or you make digital videos on YouTube, you hope that the people who are consuming your content are consuming it because they like it. And if they like it, they'll be willing to pay for it.
And that right there, the last couple sentences, is what my problem was and is with the Shadow of the Tomb Raider thing, right? Where even Nick, where he's talking about, oh, if you want to be part of the conversation. First off, I don't think there was that much conversation around Shadow of the Tomb Raider, sadly. As somebody who's really enjoyed the first two, and this one came at an inopportune time. I played it without the day one patch. Yada, yada.
It just got steamrolled, unfortunately.
It's the fact that if you cared about that conversation, aren't you a hardcore Tomb Raider fan? At which point you got to be in the conversation with your Tomb Raider friends, and then you contributed to Square seeing a bottom line that was like, good or bad, hey, this is how many people care about Tomb Raider. I'm glad I was there to support my thing. So now to be weeks later or a month later upset that it's cheaper, trying to get more people in the door to boost that bottom line, to ensure you continue to get Camilla Luddington-led Tomb Raiders. Like, it's just a weird thing of, like, where if you didn't care about the story in the conversation, why did you buy it at launch when you should have been able to see that it'd be cheaper, let alone it's Black Friday, let alone...
I think the answer to this is that people like to bitch online about literally anything and everything just because they want to bitch about something.
Sure. Well, it's the easiest thing, right? If you're angry about something, you fire off the tweet and then you've said a piece to something.
Yeah.
Somewhere, you know, somebody's going to see that and they'll understand that you're mad.
You're sticking it to somebody.
Yeah, that's why I stopped doing it, because I don't want to just put that out there. I don't want to, you know, I want to, with the exception of airlines. Sometimes somebody got to yell at them. You know what I mean? You got to get out there and do it. But yeah, it's also totally, you know, what we talk about, you know, the vocal minority, the squeaky wheel. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think the majority of people who bought Tomb Raider at full price are not pissed about this. It's a very...
It was a great game.
Again, I haven't played enough of it. I need to get back to it, maybe.
Once you finish it, we can have a discussion about it.
Oh, is that how it is? I have to review... I have to... You know, I haven't played like 30 hours of it. I understand. Emily writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, and she gets the final question of the day. She says, hello, Greg and Andrew. Thanks for the amazing content, and I love it when the two of you host together. Best combo!
Thanks, Emily.
Thank you. My question is related to our favorite game at the moment, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. On IGN's Game Scoop, There was a rich debate on level scaling in video games. I want to hear your thoughts on the matter. While I love reaching a high level and then going back to my origin town to beat the crap out of everyone at a much lower level than me, I was pleasantly surprised by how much I enjoyed constantly battling enemies around the same level as me. How did you enjoy or not enjoy level scaling? And do you think this should be the new standard with open world RPGs?
At first, not going to lie, I was really annoyed.
Yeah.
I was really annoyed that I looked back at Kefalonia and I was like, why is it the same level as I am? It's supposed to be low so I can go back there.
That was
and
like
just
a 10
like,
last time I looked. Why is it a 30 now?
So it started out me being annoyed. And then once I realized that I didn't have any trouble going after most enemy types that were the same level as me, I was like, oh, yeah, like I'm obviously, you know, progressing in my skill. I'm unlocking new abilities. I'm becoming more powerful. I don't need to have a bunch of enemies that are substantially low level than me. That being said, she's got a point here saying going back to my origin town and beating the crap out of everyone has a certain, you know,
there's something
allure to it.
There's something like that was fun about that in older RPGs or MMOs, right? Of going back to something where now you're max level and they're still like at level 5 and you're just killing them in one blow.
Yeah.
But for as big as Assassin's Creed Odyssey is, that
you don't
would
need
I
to
feel
go back,
that
yeah.
would get so boring of going back to island after island and just clowning people out. Even now being ahead of them, you get such an advantage. And like you're talking about all the skills you've unlocked, like it's I think the battle pace and what you're unlocking and that whole combat system is such a work of art in terms of being engaging and having me feel powerful and having me make active decisions of, all right, cool, run in there. I'm going to take that guy's shield, throw it on him, do this, you know what I mean? Build up this, use my power move. Like, I love that and I wouldn't want it to be that I walk in and it's just poof, 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 everybody's dead.
Well, and the way that they've done loot and gear in that system or in this game makes it so that you want to be dealing with enemies that are at or really are above your level so that you're constantly searching for better and better loot and that you can't get better loot if you're going back to places and it's consistently low level. And I think the size of Assassin's Creed Odyssey makes it so that if they didn't have this level scaling, there'd be wide chunks of the game that would be rendered certainly kind of
useless. You go there and just grind everything out for...
Yeah, and then you would have no reason to go back. So I think it's actually really smart of them to institute that kind of scaling.
I think on paper, like I could see it being annoying or whatever, but the way it's used in Assassin's Creed, if we're talking about one example, in the example is Assassin's Creed, I think it's awesome and it never annoyed me. When Damon tweeted about it that he hated it, I was like, oh... Yeah, I guess that's happening, and I never gave it two thoughts, but it was that idea of, I remember the first time.
I hated it at first, but I don't hate it anymore.
Look at you. You came around.
I came around.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to squad up. Except I didn't put one in here, because nobody had a good one, so nobody's squadding up today. Think about what you've done. Instead, let's talk about a bad PSN name. If you didn't know, Shuhei Yoshida no longer hates you and will allow you to change your PlayStation Network name soon. There's an asterisk. It may ruin everything, but we'll find out soon, thanks to the real heroes, the beta testers of the new firmware. To send off bad PSN names, people are writing in with their bad PSN names. We read them here. And then we have fun. Kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Henry from Sydney writes in and says, so glad Shuhei doesn't hate me anymore. Because my PSN ID is Tubby-McFlubby. Tubby McFlubby.
That name is great.
That's right. I was one of them big, beautiful, fat kids when I made this name back in fifth grade. Now I'm almost 20, and I live with the shame of this self-deprecating moniker. Can't wait to be free from it. Praise Shuhei, our benevolent god. Tubby-McFlubby. It is a great name, but if it's got that like adolescence, like all your like emotional, and, like, I understand. There's a lot of baggage to it.
Yeah.
But
I
no,
understand.
Tubby McFlubby, that is a good name. You should have committed to it. Even Kevin's laughing at it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we have a special job for you. Go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. You were wrong. Yeah, that's right. I've been up since 5 in the morning, everybody. That's one bet on the record.
Why?
We had Jen's mom was flying back to Montreal today, so we drove to the airport. And then I was playing a lot of Ghostbusters World. Angie, what did we get wrong today?
Today, Albie says, just a quick correction, that Shuhei Yoshida doesn't actually hate us.
I hate you guys.
It's true.
I hate you, Andrea, for putting this in their heads. You turned them against me, Andrea.
Thank you for the shirt compliment, Tech Geek Gamers.
It's a really good one. It's eye-catching because it's just, it doesn't, it's like, not. I'm not going to say a fat fox. It's just like a not in great shape fox. So it's very much like, it kind of looks like if Portillo was a fox.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the legs are longer.
Yeah, I know. I'm aware Portillo has short legs.
Gavin says, I don't have exact sources here, but the A in STEAM was added because kids were focusing too much on STEM and were losing art skills, which included communication. So the A was added to make sure STEM fields help kids become more well-rounded individuals. I appreciate that, Gavin, but I think a lot of that also has to do with systematic defunding of arts programs in public education across the United States, which is a whole other issue we're not going to get into right now.
But it's true. You're true about that.
Yes.
Also, there's a lot of these dumb kids, you know what I mean?
A lot of dumb kids too, Kevin. Your brother was in school. He was a dumb kid.
Yeah. I mean, they got to ditch the arts. I mean, they got to teach these kids math.
I mean, you have to teach them math, and you absolutely need to teach them art, too, but...
Sure. I mean, but I'm just saying, like, at this point, I think math is...
Do they still have shop class? Are kids using buzzsaws?
Yeah.
We didn't have a shop class, so I don't know.
Really?
Oh, no. We did. Yeah. Woodworking class? Too,
please, yeah. We were private school, shirts and ties. You got a buzzsaw in there. Tie gets in it, clapping in. It's a Final Destination.
This might date me a little bit, but I distinctly remember being in shop class during the O.J. Simpson trial.
No. What? Yes. What?
Yes.
You had it in, like, grade school?
Yes.
Okay. Point that out. Shop class, I jumped
well,
to, like,
it wasn't, like,
high school.
Young grade school. School. It was, like, more middle school.
Okay.
But, like,
okay,
middle
fair.
School definition on age depends which part of the country you're in.
Sure. That's true, too.
Some people do it at certain grade levels.
Sure.
Anyway. Somebody, Ravelord Nido, is disagreeing with me about STEM. Says that they don't like art and that STEM helped them be creative and artistic. Okay.
All right, dude, that's cool and everything, but, like, can you do math? Because a lot of kids can't do math right now.
Give me the square root of something,
but the
kid.
Reason STEM was created was to help foster an interest in those career fields for kids once they actually graduate and get out into the workforce, which they are still dramatically underrepresented. If you look at all of the job, and Mike Rowe is a really great proponent for this, about how you look at all
Dirty
the,
Jobs, Mike
yes,
Rowe?
Yes, Dirty Jobs, Mike Rowe, about how you look at all of the fields, particularly in trades and guilds, and how they are, like, begging people to take career paths in those fields. Because every kid wants to get a fucking communications degree.
Yeah, they all want to.
What are you going to do with that?
You going to go Twitch stream?
What the fuck are you doing?
Oh, let me tell you, everybody, there's no room at the Twitch stream hotel, all right? It's over. Go be an air conditioner repairman or a marine biologist.
Certainly a lot more money in those fields.
Dude, that's 100% true.
Oh, yes, the required reading. So Zan Fair says, not a year wrong, but I see Jason Schreier published an article. We were going to mention it.
30 minutes before we went live, yeah, Schreier published his Crunch It Rockstar article. We started reading through it. It's a good read. A lot of interesting tidbits in there. A lot of, like, shake your head at things, but it wasn't, like, Roper Report, at least at first thing. Required reading. Everybody read it today over at Kotaku, Jason Schreier's Rockstar Crunch article. I hope he writes a Nestle Crunch article one day.
Zaire says Just Dance 2019 is also on Wii and Wii U. Yes, the original Wii. And it also released on Xbox 360 on October 26th.
Lord almighty.
That is impressive, Ubisoft. Clearly selling enough units to keep
pumping them out.
All right. Malcontent Ronin. By the way, it's easy to forget, but Paris Games Week starts this Friday. We're speculating on whether Sony is showing something with canceling PSX. They are not showing anything at Paris Games Week, according to my knowledge.
Yeah, it seems very quiet this year.
Yeah, they would have announced.
They made a big deal last year when they were showing stuff.
Every year that they've showed at Paris Games Week, they've made a big blog presentation about it. So I have to assume that they are not doing anything there. Oh, Parker Petrov says Xbox Mexico stated that Crackdown 3 is supposed to be playable at XO.
Will Terry Crews be there? The world waits.
Probably. Keelan says that Phil Spencer announced the mouse and keyboard support would go mainstream starting at the XO 18 event.
It's true. We don't like mouse and keyboard here.
No.
I'm curious, and maybe one of the best friends can write in. If you are playing on console, if you have an Xbox One or an Xbox One X or an S, whatever, and you love it,
yeah. Wow, that's a lot of faces.
Why would you want keyboard and mouse support? Why would instead of just having a PC, just playing on PC?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why? I mean, I know obviously there's a market for it because there's plenty of people that are excited about it. But, like, I would love some more
easier
nuance.
Easier to play on your couch.
Some more interesting, like, some justification about why you're excited about getting keyboard and mouse support on console without getting the benefit of all of the power of PC gaming where mouse and keyboard
is. Still an affordable thing, right? Like, I mean, maybe it's just more affordable.
That's a good answer, yeah.
Kevin's got something.
It's easier. I mean, you don't have to worry about all these drivers.
Well, and then easier also, depending on where your setup is. Console's traditionally in front of a couch.
No, but, like, putting together a console is what I'm saying. Like, that's harder. Mm-hmm. You're buying an Xbox X, boom.
True.
Putting together a PC.
I'm sorry. Yes.
So is that the simple? Is that the simple answer? It's just cheaper.
I think it's just plug also, and play, right? Yeah.
Mm.
And then
otherwise, you gotta go out there and be like, is it this graphics card or this graphics card? Yeah.
And then also, you
is it FireWire USB 3.0 or is it the new USB 3.0?
All right, Greg, we know that you hate PC.
Do I need four mouse clicks or five?
All I'm saying is,
I was good up until there.
I would be interested to hear the reasoning about why people are excited. So let us know. Kindoffunny.com/KFGD. All right. And Keelan also says the first game to use mouse and keyboard is Warframe.
Oh, neat.
somebody else mentioning Crackdown will be playable. Martin, I appreciate that you're writing in a prediction, but that's not what You're Wrong is for. That's what kindoffunny.com/KFGD is for.
And Andrea is hosting the show. She's leaving the show tomorrow. So like, you can put in all the things for Andrea. She'll read them tomorrow.
I am hosting the show tomorrow.
You
with
Dave Krause,
friend of the show, Dave. Yeah.
Stack up. when? No, that's right.
Blackjack. Thursday. I'm not reading.
Thursday, it's me and Jared. Friday, it's Tim and Aiden Strahan.
Okay, that's it.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Watch it live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch it later, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And listen on podcast services around the globe. You say C?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is around the globe, and I'm saying it in a language.
Oh, you're saying it in another language. Okay. Yeah. You're still faking like you can speak Spanish.
I can speak Spanish fluently, bitch.
Whoa.
Until next time, I'm not gonna engage.
Okay.
I'm not gonna engage.
That's right,
okay.
Until next time, ladies and gentlemen. It's been our pleasure to serve you. Back the fuck off.